welcome to Data Science Perspectives. This series focuses on analytics and data science professionals from across industry to learn about how their career unfolded, what skills they look for when hiring, and what trends they think are coming next. I'm your host, Bill Franks. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of Data Science Perspectives. I'm your host, Bill Franks. Today, we're going to be joined by Alex Vayner, the Managing Director of Data Science and AI at KPMG, the large consulting firm. I met Alex a number of years back when he was actually working at Equifax here in Atlanta, and he's yet another longtime fixture of the analytics community here in town. Alex has a deep background in consulting, as you're going to hear throughout our session today. In addition to KPMG, he's worked at consulting firms including Capgemini, PwC, and Booz Allen Hamilton. Other than Equifax, he started his career in the investment management world with Bridgewater Associates, and he also spent time with a couple of smaller consulting firms, including Brand Velocity and Mars & Company. On a personal note, he's been kind enough over the years to dedicate some time to help on the advisory board of KSU's data science programs, and I think you're going to find him to be really enthusiastic and eager to share some of his thoughts on what he and his teams do. He's got a bachelor's in math and computer science from University of Florida and a master's in applied math from Georgia Tech. And with that, let's welcome Alex to the show. Well, hey, Alex, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
So I always like to start and talk to people a little bit about how they got into analytics and data science. And as with everybody, you know, you started in a slightly different way than most. You actually had math and CS as your official academic backgrounds, but then you quickly turned that into a focus on analytics and data science. So what got you into those degrees, and then how did you get pulled over to the analytics side of things from them?
Sure. Yeah, I guess you could say luck or divine providence, however you'd take it. But it was mostly the opportunity that I had finishing up my master's at Georgia Tech when I joined the traditional recruiting pipeline. And one of the companies that was recruiting there was Mars & Co., which is a tiny boutique strategy consultancy firm. And they were looking for people that were interested in doing consulting and had a quantitative background. And I joined them and ended up being an amazing job, an amazing opportunity to learn business and also apply my math skills, and sort of the analytics and data science evolved from that.
Interesting. Yeah, and you've already mentioned it in that, you know, that was a consulting firm, and pretty much most of your career has been in consulting in one form or another, including obviously today you're with one of the big global firms. What led you to pursue consulting in the first place, and then, you know, what's kept you there now for, you know, many years?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was first the luck of having a consulting gig right out of grad school. And I think I just fell in love with consulting. I think that what makes consulting interesting for me is probably first and foremost the variety, right? You have a new engagement every 3 to 9 months, I would say that's the range. And that means that you're working for a different client, oftentimes in a new industry. Your project team is actually different, right? That means that you, in the beginning of your career, you actually have a different manager. So you're learning how to work under different managers, right? As opposed to having the same supervisor for years in a role. You're learning how to work in different environments. Even the location physically is different, right? Because in the first job, I spent probably almost a year of my time in Moscow and London. And that was amazing, you know, and so the variety came in different forms and in location and management and clients and industries. And perhaps a little bit of my own ADHD showed up, and that really spoke to me. And I just fell in love with the idea of being challenged and having an opportunity to learn something new every 3, 6, 9 months.
Yeah, so you mentioned already one or two of the things you view as a pro of the consulting around the variety. Or, you know, are there any other pros that you would have, and then any cons as it relates to someone, maybe a student considering getting into consulting initially, or then also more on the overall career path? You know, any pros and cons that you've seen now that you've done it for a while?
Yeah, career-wise, one thing that's that I've liked a lot about consulting is that the career path is really well defined, and it's been like this for for as long as consulting and has been around, which is about 70, 80 years now, depending on how exactly you count. Usually, you start in as an associate, you move on to a senior associate, and eventually become a what's called a project manager or engagement manager, and that's where you're responsible for leading an engagement, working directly with a client, being responsible for managing the work deliverables. And then a next level after that usually is an associate partner or principal, depending on what firm you're in. And then finally partner, where you're more responsible for not just leading an engagement, but leading often multiple engagement and being accountable for that. Also selling the work, also developing thought leadership. And oftentimes the sort of the most complex part of it is what I call cracking the case. Not my term, but I think a term that maybe McKinsey invented a while ago, right? Sort of figuring out, how to hear a business problem, and in my case, and of design a solution using data and analytics that gets a client to some kind of value.
So I love that thing about cracking the case, designing a solution. So it's interesting because the skills required or even the process of doing that differs pretty heavily from if you're executing the project once it's designed. So how did you learn to do the design part? Was it a skill you naturally had? Did you get taught by some mentors? That's not something I think everybody would have naturally.
I think things. I think part of that is my superpower is structured thinking. So when I hear a question, and it's been like this ever since I remember thinking about things, my natural tendency is to break it into components and then sort of disassemble and reassemble it. And I think that's one of the core skills in the cracking the case in consulting or any really dealing with any difficult problem. So that served me well, I think. But I also learned a lot of that on the job, especially at Mars & Co, the first consultancy that I joined after grad school, and applying that to a business context that was useful. And I think that's really the best way to learn, right? I am a strong believer in the apprenticeship lifestyle and work style, and that served me well, I think. And it's something that you really pick up faster in consulting. So that's Even if that's not a natural skill and it's something that you want to develop, consultancy will force you into developing that skill, which is also another benefit of consulting, right? It's that I see is the learning curve is just faster. You're working longer hours traditionally. You're forced to learn often new industries, new companies, new domains and areas, and that really just keeps you sharp. It's just yet another one of the things that I love about consulting. And I know you asked about the cons, so that you don't think that I'm just selling consulting to everyone. For sure, there are cons, and it's not for everyone. So you do have to be committed, and sometimes that means working long hours, because just like in the project life cycle, every 3, 6, 9 months, when you have deliverables, that you oftentimes that means that you're working longer hours, especially towards the end of the engagement, right? You're really focused on creating an amazing client experience when you're doing that. So that means that you have to actually think about relationships a lot and invest into not just the sort of the IQ, but the EQ as well. And that's really important. And that's really not for everyone. There's certainly the dimension of travel. And with the pandemic, that has been dampened quite a bit, but it's coming back up. Clients are looking to partner and work with you, especially now. If you go back to the beginnings of consulting, to the days of Fred Gluck, Bruce Henderson, Michael Porter, BCG, McKinsey, Bain, the early birth of the consulting industry. A lot of the work was really what's called classic strategy operations work, and it really wasn't focused on execution. It was focused on applying really innovative cutting-edge frameworks, and then giving those frameworks and playbooks to the companies to execute. And that has completely changed over the last 20, 30 years, where now consultancies are not just providing designs, but they're actually working with clients on execution. And that's also one of the old sort of, I would say, fables of consulting, that look, we consultants don't do the work, they just design things. And I think that probably was true in the first, you know, 10, 20, 30 years of the consulting industry. But over the last few decades, that has evolved tremendously. And now consultants work side by side. And there are different types of consultancies as well. Some do more than others.
You raise an interesting point that I never thought of in those terms, but I'm a big believer in the apprenticeship model as well. But, you know, having spent a lot of time doing consulting myself, I think that's an interesting connection that when you're doing consulting for a career, you end up effectively in repetitive apprenticeships, often completely unintentionally, because you get thrown into a project and inevitably there will be aspects of that project that you realize, wow, I don't really know how to do this completely, but now you just have to figure it out. And so I see that as a pro and a con of consulting. If you're comfortable with that and you like kind of the challenge and the pressure of, uh-oh, I'm in a bit over my head, I'm going to ask some people, I'm going to watch some people, I'm going to figure it out, then it can be very fulfilling and kind of keep it kind of interesting and exciting. If you're not comfortable with that, I think it would be absolutely miserable. What do you think?
No, that's, you're spot on. I would say that's, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's probably the best way that I would describe consulting, right? Because you're just uncomfortable all the time. And you're either comfortable with that or you're not. But it's also how we grow, right? Like I don't remember who had the expression, but you know, if you're just comfortable all the time, that probably means that your learning curve is not very steep. And that's one of the things that I find exciting is that, you know, you're just, you get into some tense situations, right? And you have to figure out creative ways out of it. So, you know, certainly keeps you on your toes, certainly keeps you growing.
And I'll say, having experienced not just, you know, doing consulting and the people I worked with, but having consultants that I've had to work with while they're the consultant to us, is that, you know, sometimes people, you know, they say it almost innately, oh, these consultants are these overpaid consultants, quote unquote. And it may be true, consultants get paid a lot, but two things. A, they're putting in the hours and the travel and the hard work you're talking about, but B, you're paying them in part because they are able to come in and be uncomfortable and just figure it out without bugging you. Whereas sometimes, you know, a company, some of their own people with a lot of other data, they might not be good or willing to do that as much. And so I think that's an important skill consultants bring to the table, is that comfort with being uncomfortable. So,
yeah, you know, the other thing, and in speaking of advantages, and they keep coming up for me, I guess that's a never ending list. I'm truly in love with the industry, is, you know, one of the main reasons consultants get hired is because companies need to build very specific capabilities and do it in a short term. And once they build them, they just need to maintain them. And so they don't need as much of the workforce. So it's hard for a company to say, look, you know, we need to have some interesting computer vision models. But once they're built, they just run. So let's hire consultants for 6-9 months to build those models. And then we don't need to fire the people that we hired, right? Because we don't need 5 computer vision specialists to actually run the computer vision models. We just need 1. So this creates an opportunity where in consulting, you do some of the more cutting edge stuff than you would do in a traditional corporate environment, because that's where the industry learns, right? So whether it's more esoteric areas that like NLP or computer vision, right, or very specific aspects that are just not needed to be done at scale. And I know now that some of those areas are actually being done at scale at many corporations. But unless you are in a pure technology field, most likely you will not need to invest into full-time employees to build out those capabilities. So this is where consultants come in. And then I found that also, yet one more thing that keeps you on the edge, because you get to learn the things that you wouldn't necessarily get to experience if you were in a traditional corporate role.
Well, as you've worked with a bunch of clients over the years, I'm sure that maybe the kinds of problems or the ways you're supposed to address the problems has changed. So when you look back, is today versus say 10 or 15 years ago, is it that you're using different data and analytics to answer the same fundamental underlying questions you used to be asked, or are you now being asked to address fundamentally different questions altogether?
Yeah, I think, you know, the short answer is both. I think that the questions have changed, because now the questions have moved from, why is this happening and what is happening to what's going to happen and what should we do about it. So it's moving from the descriptive diagnostic areas, right, to the predictive prescriptive stuff that we've known and heard about for years now. The data itself has changed, right? It's been pretty structured, traditional data, you know, if you look back 30, 40 years ago, but now the data comes in different shapes and sizes. It's unstructured, it's voice data, it's IoT data, it's video data, it's images. And, you know, so that has changed the landscape, right? Like now the capacity to store and manage data has evolved and increased the tools necessary to actually structure unstructured data have come into play. And the actual technology has changed as well, right? So it used to be just, you know, you do basic reporting, basic business intelligence, and now you have to use more advanced language skills, Python, Scala, you know, new paradigms to get to the predictive prescriptive aspect of things. So in my experience, it's all changed over the last, I would say, 10, 20 years tremendously, both in terms of the data, the analytics, the technology, and the questions that are being asked.
And hence why you're still interested in it, because it's always new, basically, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. It is. I'm learning every day. Absolutely.
So, you know, you've gone through a number of things about the industry, about consulting, about different skills that are required. If you look back now, obviously you've done, I think objectively, I'll have happy to say you've done very well for yourself, Alex, even in the years I've known you. So what have been some of your skills or traits that you think have most helped you reach the level of success that you've been able to do in your career?
I would say I'd humble myself by saying that most of it has been through, you know, luck, divine providence, that the opportunities have come my way. But I'd say the things that made consulting work really well for me, I think is one is just a natural curiosity. I think that's for sure served me well, and it's been just part of my natural wiring, I would say. I would say two is that super skill of deconstructing and then reassembling a problem, right? Structured thinking. I think that's probably one of the most important skills in consulting, right? The ability to hear a business problem and then actually break it into pieces and create a design, a solution. And then often a challenging skill for, especially for data scientists that I hire, is sometimes synthesis, right? Actually, okay, you've done the modeling, you have some results, and how do you go from having a confusion matrix, right? Like that this tells you what the answer is, to actually having a story that you can tell to a business audience about what the results actually mean. And that's been, it's been a strong suit. Maybe it's all the fiction I read as a kid and the storytelling that I heard that's helped shape that. But that's been a strong suit, and it's a really critical skill in general, I think. And then, you know, this more than I think most, and if you literally have written books about telling stories and analytics, but it's also a particularly important skill in consulting, because that's what you do, that every 3 to 6, 9 months, right? You got to tell a story, you got to sell the story, and then you got to tell the story. And then in between is the hard work, of course. But those are the bookends of consulting.
Yeah, good point. So the other thing too, let's face it, when we all come out of school and we get our first job, we think we know a lot and we think we know how it's going to work, and we actually don't know anything. And we all soon realize that. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Just, you know, until you live a job, you don't know what you're getting into. So if you think back, what was one thing that you wish someone had told you before you started working that, you know, ended up causing you pain for a while till you figured it out?
I think probably focus on emotional intelligence. I don't know if you're a fan of the industry, if you will, and, you know, Daniel Goleman and all of that literature that has come out of it. I think that's something that we almost as an industry, as a society, is almost have been focused on for the last 20, 30 years. And I think we've learned a lot. And I happen to be married to a psychotherapist, so I've been on a steep learning curve. in the domain of emotional intelligence. My wife has a thousand times more of it than I do. But if I could go back and just read a couple of Daniel Goleman's books and focus on that a little bit more, I'd probably be even further along in my career trajectory.
It's interesting in the sense that I'll agree. First, I agree with that. I think that's a great point that EQ, particularly in STEM-based fields, I think is vastly underrated. But it also ties a little bit even to your last points about some of the structured thinking and the synthesis and storytelling on the back end. I mean, all of that still comes down to the same idea of this person's given me some information and I don't just need to understand it logically, but I have to interpret what are they really going after, both from a math fact perspective and also from a personal goal, emotional career perspective. And the better you map to that, the more successful that your proposal or your project delivery will be as a result, right?
Agreed. And a manager told me this one time, and it kind of stuck with me. I came in and there was some challenging problem that we were trying to figure out. And I was describing to him, how the client didn't get it and they didn't understand it and it was all wrong. And he said something brilliant to me, and it kind of stuck with me throughout the career. He said, "You're coming to be understood instead of coming to understand." And it just really stuck with me for a long time. We're in this field, especially there's a bunch of nerds and we're all super smart and we're all trying to come in and say, okay, I get it. Here's what you need to do, or here's how I'm thinking about it. And the harder thing is to actually just come in and start asking questions and listening. That whole paradigm, coming to be understood instead of coming to understand, has really stuck with me for the rest of my career since I heard it.
It's about 3-4 months ago, I wrote a blog and it was based on my book, and it was a conference question I had when I presented a conference. And I forget the exact question, but my answer back to them was, you have to remember that as you're putting this whole presentation together, your goal is not to have a presentation that you like or that you're comfortable with. It's funny, I think I might have used that word even. I said, the goal is to give a presentation that the recipients like and that they're comfortable with and that they understand. And so, it's not for you. This presentation is not for you, and you don't need to like it. You don't need to be comfortable with it. You don't need to, even down to the template, you might think it's ugly color mix, but if that's what your audience expects, then you better use their template and you better put it in their terms.
So sounds right.
Let's flip it. We just talked a little bit about what you think helped you succeed some. Is there anything today as you're hiring that you specifically will look for in a candidate that might not be the obvious? I mean, of course, you're going to want them to have, worked at a decent place, have a good education. But are there any specific things that you think are not the typical box checks that you'll look for as you talk to a candidate?
So, the question of talent has really exploded, I think, in the last 2-3 years, especially amidst this great resignation, right? And now there's new terms like quiet quitting that are popping up. And there's a lot of conversations about, what it takes to hire excellence and to manage and train excellence. And I think the thing that stuck with me over all of these, last, I would say, 10 years where I've been looking at hiring and managing talent a lot, is what Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, said when they asked him this question. He said that he looks for two things, clarity and energy. And then when I heard it, I kind of realized that that's actually something intuitively that I've always been seeking as well, but just didn't verbalize it as well as Satya did. But that stuck with me, but that's really been what I've been looking for. The clarity is that structured thinking, being able to come in and even in a compelling way, tell somebody what you've been doing for the last 5 years, right? There's clarity that can emerge out of that. And then there's also energy, right? Do you tell that in a way that gets somebody else excited and interested, or do you tell that in a way that puts somebody else to sleep?
I've never heard those two terms used in that way, but I agree with you. I really like that. I think I would never have said that clarity and energy in that combo were important, but when you describe it, it actually makes perfect sense. And it really encompasses, there's a, you know, obviously a lot of other sub traits that would go into each of those, but that's a really succinct way. So I think that's a great tip that you, you're able to share with the audience. I guess one thing too, let's assume there's somebody who is currently either a new student with no experience, or maybe they've been working a couple years, specifically not in a consulting environment, and they want to break into consulting. So when they're thinking of having an interview with you or someone on your team, say end of the semester for a job, or coming into the new year just because they're ready for a switch, what are one or two things they should brush up on proactively to prepare themselves for that interview for consulting, whether it's a skill set, whether it's the way that they position their background? Like what would be the things that would help them differentiate from other non-consultants?
Sure. Well, in consulting, you're always marketing yourself, right? And I think that one of the things I look at is how well do you market yourself, right? Because that's what you're going to be doing on the job, right? You're going to be marketing yourself to our clients, not just when you're selling the work, but when you're delivering the work, you're going to be, have to sell them on the design, on the solution, on the approach, even sometimes on the way that a particular solution looks like, right? So the ability to tell a compelling story and do it authentically in a way that gets me engaged is really important. You know, if there's a way that you could think about that and practice that, that's certainly helpful. And get some coaching from your friends, from your family on telling that story, doing that with, again, with clarity and energy. That's always a good sign. You know, on the technical side, I think that there are a couple of areas that are, you know, in the consulting space and in the world of data and analytics where I live, that are becoming big. I think one is, if you're really a data scientist, you should be familiar with Python, I would say, because simply that's the lingua franca of data science right now. If you have something more advanced like Julia, Scala, more of the, you know, more contemporary languages that have evolved over the last 3 to 5 years, that's certainly a spike that tells me that you're curious and that you're a learner. And then probably more than anything, the data space has been dominated by the cloud providers, right, recently. So Azure and from Microsoft, AWS, GCP. So having familiarity with at least one of those platforms, if not two, and understanding what the ecosystem looks like, what the data stack looks like, you know, what are some of the core tools and products that in that are in play, and then having had training in that or experience in using them is a big differentiator. Those, I would say, the two things on the technical data side.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, I think we've probably used up the time I had you available for. So I want to thank you. I think your insights were terrific. You actually had a couple of points here that I think will be extremely helpful that I haven't heard from other guests. So I appreciate that. And I, as always, appreciate your time and enjoy talking with you, Alex. So thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Thank you.